joined. Has joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So we are beginning with Olashem Yehud and followed by our study, which is Pasuk 278 in section 20, part 2. Of the Sulam commentary on Parasha Vayera. L'shem Yehud, Kutshab Ritu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urshimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urshimu. Le'asha, L'shem, Yuhe Bavate, the Yehud Ashelim, B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayihino am Adonai Eloheinu alei namaasei yadeinu kunanei alei namaasei yadeinu kunanehu. Pasuk 278. Kad mitcha beran kulhu kachada beraza chada beheila ila'a kedeni krev beyud dalad bav dalad Kola biklala hada me'et Hashem min ha-shamayim shema kadisha yitkela ayin shemahan acharanin razad shamayim v'ilenin un shivim v'shaltin al ilen ayin dinin razad wa Bav yud hey bav ve'ilein shivin shemahan bikdusha yud hey vav hey shemayim. The translation: when they were all joined together as one in one secret by the power of the Almighty, namely Zerantin, that he is called Vav Yud Hey Vav Yud. excuse me, Vav Yud Hey Vav Hey, which means that all are united as one. This refers to Zerantin and the Nukva together with the 70 angels below her. The phrase from Hashem out of heaven refers to the holy name that is engraved with the other 70 names of the secret of the heavens, which allude to Zerantin, which is the name of 72 that are in the Mohin of Zerantin, while in essence it includes 70. So these are the 70 of Zerantin that control the 70 judgments of the Nukva that glow in all directions. They are the secret of Vav Yud, Vav Hey, Hey, and these 70 names of holiness, namely the Mohin of Zerantin, are the secret of Yud Hey, Vav Hey, without the letter Vav, called the heavens. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, this verse is clear as written. There is much to follow up. Are there two of the 72 names that are duplicates? This is just one follow-up to the above four verses. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I know, this verse that you've just read, you know what I like about it? And I really do. Even in the first sentence or the second phase, is explaining that Hashem is really the power and control here. And the word that gathers one is joined together, meaning united. And so it just amazes me how probably with this verse is really helping us to understand that Hashem is not abandoning us as we are in, let's say, the darkness of life, especially in our time, and not being able to distinguish light from darkness and truth from lies, because everything's been so sensationalized and turned upside down. But it's nice to know that that's the general feeling I feel with this verse, is the unity that's provided. But my question is this, could you please elaborate on the Nukva? I know it means feminine or female, but explain to me what that means. Is this the female of Bina, which we know she has two areas, judgment and compassion or mercy, in what she rules in her
has
domain,
joined.
Which is in Gevara. I mean, in the, anyway, got lost there. Anyway, could you elaborate, please, on that, if possible? Thank you.
The Nukva is a partsuf. A partsuf is a structure of 10 sephirot. The Nukva is the name of the partsuf for Malchut. There is a Malchut in Bina. There's a Malchut in Zerantin. There's a Malchut in Malchut. Malchut, wherever there is a Malchut, it is incomplete unless it has a partsuf. And the partsuf means a structure of 10 sephirot.
Okay. I like that explanation well. Also being reminded that when Hashem created this world for us to go to school in, Hanok, it's a good reminder that we're the ones who are to finish out the creation process in this experience, sensory-wise, as well as gaining mastery in the balance of our yetzers. So it's nice to know that this verse alone is reaffirming to me in my mind and my thoughts and my prayers that Hashem is in charge, and that once we cultivate that betachon, you know, that trusting faith of emunah, it helps us to find that balance. Anyway, that was just the comments I feel from the verse. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Would anybody else like to comment?
Well, I did notice that the name of the angel, Haniel, is repeated. I don't see a repetition of the others, at least not in those last two verses. And of course, with the root being Het and Nun, we know the meaning is
You're looking in the Aramaic, correct?
No, I actually was looking at the translation in 276 and 277, Chaniel, which we with Chain being favor and grace and hidden wisdom.
Right.
The only one that I see repeated, I didn't check into the next, but so many of the, you know, the beginning of the word, like Malkiel, well, with Malka, we know is king, or Melech, the root of king. Idea as strength, you know, so you kind of get an idea of some of the meaning of their names.
Understanding of the task that angel is being given.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also leading into what's really amazing about this verse 278. Because most of us are looking at each verse on their own. And in this section, the verses are really coordinated. They're coordinated in all the verses, the sections. But this is just more clear. Because in earlier, I don't remember where it started. I think it's 272 or 273. We were talking about there's this level of Zerantin, which is consisting of six sephirot. And then there is Malchut. There's a Malchut of Zerantin, and then there is the Malchut that is equivalent to Zerantin. And then there's these 70 angels that are below Malchut that have the responsibility of monitoring what takes place in the physical world. And what this verse 278 is bringing us back to is explaining that there are these 70 angels, the 70 colors, there are the two sets of names, the two sets of angels, because they have two different tasks. They may have the same name because the tasks are similar, but the tasks are monitoring. In Daniel, they're called watchers. They're watching the human's being so that they stay in a narrower frame, a narrower aspect of their free will, of our free will, so that we don't blow up the world. As an example, man has developed atomic energy. It has developed atomic bombs and then hydrogen bombs. And literally, there was a period of time in the 50s and 60s and 70s that people were concerned, even into the 80s, people were concerned that some lunatic would push a button and blow up the world. Well, these angels have the task of making sure that didn't happen. That's what it means to be the watchers. But then there's another side of that. Because the Zohar and the Kabbalah is being revealed to people who don't have the appreciation to truly honor Hashem. As you study the Zohar, it becomes more apparent to you that you need to do that. And you do change aspects of the way you perceive Hashem, think of Hashem. It enhances your prayers, so there's more kavod, more honor. But the overall understanding is there are people who look at the 72 names and they try to utilize them for selfish purposes. And literally, this is the DNA of the universe. This is the tools that controls the energies of the angels. It controls the energies of the natural order that appears in the world of Zeranpin. And literally, somebody could abuse this tool and blow up the world, blow up the control mechanisms in the world. And this verse is explaining to us how this works so that the control doesn't ever blow up the world, and how it is okay, even for the person who isn't using the 72 names for the proper reasons, it's okay because there's a control mechanism in place. That may not have been true. You know, it was always true, but we weren't aware of it. And until we got this information through the Zohar, it's really, that was always the risk. And that was one of the reasons why the rabbis would say, up until the 1500s, they would say, don't do this. Don't study Kabbalah. You're not ready. But after the 1500s and the teachings of the Ari and the Zohar, which was around from about 1100 up, that it became revealed, all of this information was available, and it is what allowed the Zohar, the Kabbalah, to be brought to people, even though they don't honor it, even though they utilize it improperly. It is changing them, and it's moving the world towards the positive side. It's moving the world toward bringing Mashiach instead of waiting for Mashiach. Would anybody like to comment?
I would like to ask a question.
Go ahead.
I know. In regards to the Moshiach, is it necessary that we have to experience a God to make us war? I mean, it's amazing how the knowledge that's presented for the religions today, they expect us to take place. But I know in Kabbalah, we don't have to go that direction. So my question is, what does a Torah person have to be very mindful of to make sure that the Torah information of the higher energies that can be ignited, how is their consciousness awoken in that carefulness? What steps do they have to be aware of while they are relating to Hashem, especially if they happen to be a trained rabbi and they're caught up with the secularism in the world? That can be extremely misleading. What is your advice on that?
My advice is not to ask me for my advice.
Okay, well, what are your perceptions then in clarity here? For those of us who are studying Torah, and we may think that we're on the right path, but we may not be. And how do we note the warnings in that walk that we are doing in maintaining our connection with our Creator, besides using, King David as a model, the way he connects with Hashem through Psalms, because that will connect you easily. It opens up your heart. But what about someone who's misusing Torah? I do understand that anyone who is studying Torah, our responsibility is to make correction if we see and are aware that another is misusing it in a way that could be destructive to their soul. I don't know. Two levels, the Messiah part of the war, and then individual responsibility when you are being taught by the Arab Rav, who is misleading in their thinking. How does one recognize that without misjudging? especially when someone has so much Torah knowledge. But in my context, it's not the knowledge, it's the relationship with Hashem that's the key to this whole thing. That's what I understand and experience. Anyway, thank you.
There are 7.5 billion paths to Hashem. And everyone has their own path. And it is not up to the rabbis to confuse someone's path. And it's not up to the rabbi to take away that person's free choice. What this verse is telling us is there's a mechanism in place to save the world from it, from being blown up by inappropriate uses. The free choice is paramount, but the most important thing to realize is consciousness controls. So we live in a society that is inundated with the consciousness that there must be an Armageddon war. Yet if you look around yourself, you look around what's taken place in the last 2 months, the Armageddon war is not happening because there's peace between the modern state of Israel and many of the nations that we consider Arabs. They're not really Arabs. And there's a lot of aspects that we don't understand. It doesn't mean that the war won't happen, but the purpose of this, the opening up of the Zohar and the study of Kabbalah to everyone, that started with the Kabbalah Center, but it actually started with Rabbi Ashlag. The purpose of that was to bring the strength of light to the world that people could see that they didn't have to have the war, that all of this inundation that we have that says there must be a war, God forbid, that we're able to see past that illusion. And that's why the Zohar is being revealed. And that's why if you don't study the Zohar, there's going to be a lot of consequences that people are not going to like. Because it's only through the study of the Zohar that the light is revealed that allows you to perceive what the three opening verse of Lech Lecha that we will read tomorrow, the three promises or the three directions. Hashem says to Avram, now first off, Hashem is saying to the soul before it comes into the body, leave your land, leave your, what's the middle one I always forget? The third one is the father's house, but I forget what the expression is. You leave your land.
Your community?
Well, that's the inner meaning of the middle one. I forget what it is, but we all know it. Read the first verse and it's very clear. But those all three levels represent you have to leave the society. Because the society that we live in, being in exile, and even if you live in the modern state of Israel, you are in exile. Being in exile, we have to leave the land, which is leaving the society. Because society tells us, inundates us with this consciousness that there has to be a war. But there doesn't have to be a war. And you cannot see that unless you leave the land, unless you recognize the society is impacting you. and how it impacts you. I can take it into a different level, which I don't want to because it's upsetting to people. But there's the issue of abortions in the Western world. It's not just in the United States. It's throughout the Western world. And the Orthodox community is saying that that's wrong, that it's too liberal. And therefore, they want to limit people's access to that. But again, did you leave the society? Do you see where the society has influenced you or where the society has influenced the other person who disagrees with you? Because there's 7.5 billion paths to Hashem, one for each human being. There are public paths that are for many groups of souls, but then there are individual paths that each person will need to walk on their own. You have to leave your society, not leave it in the sense that it's wrong, but understand its impact on your logic, on your rationales, on your perception of truth. And then there is leaving the community, which is the middle one. That I can't remember. What is a community? You grew up in different religions. You grew up in different perceptions. There's so many different, 12 different, 13 different paths of prayer to Hashem. Which is your community teaching you? Oh, and my community is right, and the other communities are wrong. This is part of what you have to grow through and recognize that they are also right. Their path is also correct. There's no right or wrong. There's just Hashem in control. And he's in control in a form that nature does. Well, how does nature work? It's natural for a lion to kill a zebra. It's judgmental, but it's also nature. Just because it's nature doesn't mean that the lion has to kill that zebra. We need to understand how we have to change ourselves. And there's the third level of leaving your father's house, meaning your parents, and how they influenced you as children, and how you have to grow past that and through that. And that's what the Zohar allows you to do. That's the light of the Zohar, allows you to see all of these limitations that you have created. But then it comes to the point of Achdut. And Achdut is the Hebrew word for unity. It's a mitzvah for Achdut. And as Bracha said, what do you do, or she was asking my opinion, what do you do when you see someone doing something against Torah law? Except there is no Torah law. There is halakha, which is a pathway, which is a recommendation. And there are every rabbi in the secular world, in the many different areas, will say that's not the right way to describe halakha. But it means a pathway. And achdut means I have to tell this person, this is why I think it's wrong that you're doing this action. It's incumbent on me to say something Because if I don't, I share the burden of that negative action. But if I do that statement, if I tell the person you're doing wrong and they're not going to change, then I have compounded the problem. Not only is it my responsibility that I will share in the negative action and the effect of that negative action in my life's chaos, you know, I will make it work because they heard it and they know it and they didn't listen to it. So that's why I answered the initial question. It's best if you don't ask my opinion, because you're asking me to create halakha, create pathways for my students, create pathways in the universe. And literally, each one of us creates pathways in the universe for what we do and how we do it. So I have answered you, whether it's an answer you wanted to hear, whether it's an answer you want to respond to, and I just got lucky because my interruption, my caregiver arrived, so we are out of time.
Thank you, Hanok. Appreciate your thoughts here. Tada rabah.
You're all welcome. Have a beautiful evening, and I hope you'll join us for the Zohar class tonight.
Shalom.